About with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Welcome to our class. We're going to look this morning at many of these objects strewn across the floor. And we're going to take a lesson from them. And I think you already probably have been grabbing lessons out of your head as we have gone. But going back to the first part of the verse, I know my topic is looking unto Jesus, but before we get to looking unto Jesus, we cannot see Jesus clearly if we have all of this stuff encumbering us. Okay? I'm going to ask for your thinking hats to be installed, and we're going to just look a little bit at what some of these weights are, and then some of the sins are, and we're just kind of going to work through this. This could be a weight test. What do you think this weight could represent? And it could be a variety of things. We'll just take one.
Yourself.
Pardon?
Yourself.
Yourself, okay. Why would you call that yourself?
It's all about you.
Okay, when you pack this thing, it's all about what you want, right? So, we have self. That can be a weight test. And we need to lay aside that weight. Okay, this is my briefcase that goes with me almost wherever I go. And it is fairly heavy right now. What could this represent?
Duties, cares.
Okay, duties and cares. These are the things that I have to do. I've got this and this and this to study for, and it needs to come. I need to do it, and this is a care. This is a duty that just weighs me down, and I have to lay it aside. Okay? What about this thing? Okay, your baggage.
Of the past.
Of the past. So this can be a weight, and it can be a sin. Keep my rock in sight here. Okay, so this is baggage from the past that can be a weight or it can be a sin that we haven't taken care of. Okay? There is definitely things there that we need to lay aside. Okay. This is all representative of what? Pardon? School. Okay. You mean we have to lay aside school to, you know, focus on Jesus? Yes, sometimes. Sometimes from the pile of checking. Now, these are not all school books and catalogs and things that I didn't care if they get messed up if I threw them. But, you know, sometimes that pile just gets higher and higher and higher and higher. Or if you have single papers, they don't get very high, but they sure get thick and it takes forever. It seems like. Okay. Sometimes the responsibilities that we have, we need to lay aside. to look unto Jesus. So we're going to set those down here. Well, let's do this one yet. What does this represent?
Sleeping.
Sleeping.
Comfort.
Comfort. Okay. This is a very comfortable blanket, especially on a cool winter night when it's just kind of drizzling and raining outside, and it just, oh, this is a good cuddle-up thing. Okay? Sometimes we have our comfort that we need to lay aside because it's a weight to us, because we need to focus on Jesus. Okay? Now, this. Some of you won't care about this stuff at all. Others of you might be interested in it. I have just rocks. Why do I have rocks in here?
It's a hobby.
It's a hobby. Okay? So, what are we going to have to lay aside? Hobbies. Does that mean we can't do them at all? No. But we have to give them the proper time. Okay? So that our hobbies can be a weight that pulls us apart. Okay? Let's look at this one. What is duct tape used for? It's notorious for doing what?
Fixing things.
Fixing everything. If you have duct tape, it's just fine. I mean, you can fix an engine with duct tape, right? Well, maybe not quite. But that's kind of the idea. So, what are we going to liken this to?
Quick fixes.
Quick fixes, okay? I had another thing in mind, but that definitely would work. A what?
A know-it-all
attitude. And that's where I was going with this. I can fix anything. I've got the answers, okay? In the classroom, guess what? Mm-hmm. You're going to fall flat on your face.
Mm-hmm.
So, the duct tape is the know-it-all attitude. Okay, what about the cane?
A crutch or something that you depend on.
Okay, a cane is a crutch or something that you depend on. Okay, do we have habits and things in our lives that we depend on? That draw us down. Yes, we do. If we are not looking unto Jesus, these habits and crutches can be a detriment to us. And we've got to lay those aside. We've got to look into Jesus. What does this represent? Do you know what it is?
A root.
It's a root, okay? It's not just a stick. Why would I choose a root? A root of bitterness, and that's exactly where I was going with it. If you have a root of bitterness in your life, now this is definitely going to the sin part. If you have that root of bitterness in your life, the Bible says that springing up will trouble you and thereby many be defiled. You cannot be in the classroom with a root of bitterness and think that you're going to get by and nobody's going to be affected by it. Bitterness is something that has to be taken care of. Okay, now, this carpet is the wrong color, or I chose the wrong colors. Okay, what is this little guy? Just a little rock. But in my shoe, what was he doing? Irritating me. Okay, big time. Of course, I wasn't wearing it long enough to really get majorly irritated. But I was wearing it long enough to have a hard time walking in here without it being an irritation to me. Okay? What can we liken that to?
Pet peeve.
Pet peeve. This one could actually have multiple different scenarios going on. Pet peeve is one of them. Another one would be a little something that you have hidden in your life. Oh, it's not bad. It's just a little habit that I have that doesn't really... It doesn't matter. God made me this way, right? Or a riddle. If we have these little things that are being an aggravation to others, or things that are just kind of aggravating ourselves, we need to take care of them. Because these little things will make for a big bad sore. If I would walk around with this in my shoe all the time, I would probably get a sore in my foot that could get infected. Things bad comes to worse, this could make me amputate my foot. if I never took care of the problems that this thing caused. So little things can grow into bigger things. Any thoughts or more comments that you would have on any of those things as you're thinking about that? The things that we need to lay aside.
But also be something like a minor irritant, something that bugs you about another person. It might not be that big, but can really get under your skin.
Yes, something that bugs you about somebody else. What do you do about it when you have something in somebody else that just irritates you? How do you take that little stone out?
Takes the love of God.
Takes the love of God. One of the key things is forgiveness. If we don't have forgiveness in our lives, we won't be taking care of this little stone. And forgiveness can work on many, many, many of those things. Coming back to the crutch a little bit, when we need a crutch, oftentimes the reason we have a crutch is because there's been a hurt that we haven't forgiven, and we have to forget about the pain that we're dealing with instead of dealing with it. So we use a crutch, something to distract us, something to get our focus on something else. And so forgiveness, again, comes into the fact if we take care of the forgiveness problem, the crutch won't be a needed thing. And thankfully, the rock can be taken out. Any other additional information that you have that you would feel free to, or feel you wanted to share?
Personal preferences or interests don't get satisfied as well. That falls down with everything you handle all week.
Why is it so hard to lay aside self? We just are so full of it. And yet, it's something we have to do every day. Okay, shifting our gears a little bit. Sometimes, okay, we would have had the thing of our cloud of witnesses. Now, I think I actually missed one or two of my students, but I think their names are pretty well all up here. I thought it was an odd number. I thought I had about 62 or 3 students, and there's 60 names up there. I'm not sure who I'm missing, but none of you were my students, and none of you will be slighted by the one I missed. And I won't say the names so they don't know in the recording who is missing. That is our cloud of witnesses as we enter the classroom. But guess what? It goes beyond that. All the parents of those students are a part of that cloud of witnesses. The churches of those students are a cloud of witnesses. Their little brothers and sisters, their big brothers and sisters, are a cloud of witnesses that we face. So we have this great cloud of witnesses around us that we are working with and that we need to be having our lives in order for. So we have the cloud of witnesses. We've laid aside the weights, the sin which does so easily beset us. And now we have to run with patience the race that is set before us. What are the things that are required of you to run with patience through your cloud of witnesses and know when to make contact with this one and when to make contact with that one and how to help this one and how to help that one? What are the things that we need to run with patience that race? The Holy Spirit. Okay, we're just going to write some of these down.
Contact with God.
Okay. I'm going to put that one as relationship with God. Okay. And that is a constant relationship. One of the other things I think of is humility. If we have any pride in our life, that's that root of bitterness. The opposite of that is humility. So we have to have humility in order to be able to run with patience the race. Anything else? Okay, correct priorities. I think that is definitely right. You know, a lot of these weights that we were talking about, there's nothing wrong with. There's nothing wrong with us having things from home that we have, relationships and things that we work with. But when we bring the baggage part of it that doesn't need to go with us, that's when the issue comes. Nothing wrong with having something to eat, but if we are being gluttonous, there is something wrong. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a job to do, items that need to be finished, but if that consumes our time at the expense of other more important things, it's wrong. And you can go that way through the whole list. So, having the proper priorities is a major thing in running with patience the race.
Perseverance, endurance, commitment.
Okay. And you know what? I might be a teacher, I might have been a teacher, but I can misspell. And I think I just did, but I'm not sure. Perseverance, endurance, and what's the other one?
Commitment.
Commitment. Okay? Anything else there?
It goes along with your point of humility, the willingness to accept advice and inspiration from the cloud of witnesses.
From the cloud of witnesses. That is the key thing. I'm going to put accept advice from the witnesses. You know, it's easy to accept it from somebody that we think a lot of, or that we think has the maturity that, you know, they deserve to teach us something. But the Bible says that the mouth of babes and sucklings, you know, God's word is going to be perfected, and that means in us as well as others. So, yes, being willing to learn from our cloud of witnesses. Okay, let's look at the next part now, the next part of that verse. And that's all found in Hebrews 12, the first two verses is what I quoted when I came in here. We're going to look at why I grabbed this little critter. What do you think this one represents? You don't know. What scripture was I quoting when I grabbed this one? Did you pay any attention to it? Yes, it was. So what do you think this is? It's a GPS. But what was it representing? Why did I grab it? You're getting close. It's not the Bible. It's not the map. I know I'm taking this out of the box, but I don't think I'm being sacrilegious doing it. So, okay, I said looking unto... No. Jesus. Okay, now I'm going to make this GPS be representative of Jesus. And I'm going to do some drawing on the board here to illustrate why I chose this. Okay, this is considered to be our lives, our heart. Okay, if we have Jesus in our heart, okay, so I'm just going to make a box up here in the heart to represent the GPS. The GPS, in this way, I'm going to call it God's positioning sensor instead of a global positioning sensor. Because Jesus, if we have Jesus in our heart, Jesus is going to be directing us in our lives. And that's why we look to Jesus. But if we don't have Jesus in our heart, we cannot look to Jesus. Okay? But there's illustrations from the GPS that we're going to use in order to draw out how we look to Jesus. Do any of you know how many satellites does it take for a GPS to show an accurate reading of altitude and longitude and latitude? Any ideas? Probably something that's never bothered to consider, right?
I think it's at least three. But it might be more.
You're right. It's three. You can get a longitude and latitude that is fairly accurate with two, but if you're going to get the altitude in there too, and get accurate longitude and latitude, you have to have three different satellites that come in and feed this GPS. So we're going to make a satellite out here, a satellite here, and a satellite here, representing the three satellites of the GPS. And so this one is sending a signal to the GPS. This one is sending a signal, and this one is sending a signal. What are these three signals? There's three main signals that we have as God's children that are giving us the direction. One of those was mentioned right here, which is the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to put HS for Holy Spirit. Okay? Another one was mentioned in the when we were talking about what might the GPS represent. It was mentioned. What do you think it might be? The Holy Spirit is never directs us somewhere that doesn't connect with what? The Bible. Okay? We're going to put the Bible up here as a second satellite that is giving us a direction. Do you have any ideas what this third one might be?
Is it down what?
Down what?
Is it fast so that it gives you a hint?
Not necessarily. I just wanted places to write under all these. So. Okay, it includes all those, but I'm just going to give a little bit broader name to it, Brotherhood. Okay? And because this can be applied to anything, so we are, our third thing is our Brotherhood. If you are trying to look to Jesus and you're walking this way all by yourself because you can't agree with anybody and you can't take input from a brotherhood in your life, you're not getting an accurate reading. It's just that simple. I'm very firmly settled on that issue. So we have the Holy Spirit, the Bible, and the Brotherhood. Now let's just go down through that list and figure out what are some of the ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to us, what are some of the ways that the Bible speaks to us, and what are some ways that we get input from the Brotherhood. And those will all be ways that we have, that we are looking unto Jesus. Okay? How does the Holy Spirit speak to us?
Conscience.
Our conscience. Okay? Now, our conscience isn't always the Holy Spirit. I will say that. But definitely the Holy Spirit uses the conscience, because we can have a misguided conscience, and that can be the wrong thing, but our conscience definitely works as the Holy Spirit, or as a tool of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, I use the Scripture to speak to us. The Holy Spirit can speak to us through Scripture.
Okay.
Apply to our application, maybe.
Okay, so we could say, bringing Scripture to mind and teaching us how to apply that Scripture. I'll put down applying Scripture. And it's amazing how many times that you can be in a situation, facing a situation that you're like, what should I do about this? And a verse pops into your mind. Oh, I never thought of that verse with this connection before. That was the Holy Spirit. They do. They all tie together. And if you don't have them all tying together, it's because it's not lining up. It will line up. Now, I will say this one right here is the one that has the least, because you can be in an unbiblical brotherhood and get the wrong direction. But then it's not, the direction that they're giving is not lining up with the Bible, and it's not lining up with the Holy Spirit. So you know it's not the right direction. If all three of these line up, go for it.
WFTI.
Okay, where would that one come in? Brotherhood, actually. It would. But I don't know where to write it. Any other things under specifically the Holy Spirit?
Prayer and meditation.
Okay, prayer and meditation. Could you give a little bit more of a explanation of why you say prayer and meditation?
Well, probably it's, honestly, I have a hard time, you know, just sitting quietly and thinking. But, you know, when we face an issue, I tend to want to be decisive and make a decision. But if we wait and we take it to God and we pray and we, you know, consciously want that communication with God, then I think sometimes, you know, I find that suddenly there's something, you know, like in my mind, it may not be a specific scripture, but there's something that comes through that quietness. And, you know, like I said, I'm weak in that area, and I, you know, maybe that's why I think of it. But, and then there's rest. I mean, that the Holy Spirit can give us something, and like, well, right there's the answer, and I don't really know where it came from.
Or exactly.
You feel led to do something, and you do it, and you say something, and it's like, well, I don't know where that came from. But I think there has to be that quietness and sort of that waiting to and wanting to be filled for it to come.
Exactly. And when you have a conversation with somebody, how much of the talking do you do? Do you talk with them all the time? It depends on the person. But you have about as much listening time as talking time in a normal conversation, because you're coming back and forth. Now, in a storytelling episode, yeah, the storyteller does all the talking. Aren't we communicating with God? Didn't we say we have a relationship with God? Part of that comes, prayer is talking with God, but also listening to God. And the meditation part. And that, I agree with you. That's one of the hardest challenges I have, is sitting quietly and letting God speak to me. I'm a doer. I'm, you know, I've got to be doing something. And that's one of my biggest challenges. So I'm glad you brought that one in. Any other things that we have that go with the conscience?
Kind of along with prayer, but sometimes we're confused and we know we have a problem, but we're not exactly sure how to sort our feelings out. And the Bible says the Spirit will make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, so He will kind of direct that in the way we need it, you know, even though we don't even know exactly.
That scripture has been a big blessing to me so many times. I don't know how to pray. But I just tell God, you know what, I don't know how to pray about this whole thing. But here I am, I have this need. And it's amazing how He can give you rest in your heart because of that. Sometimes as we're looking through scripture and we come across a verse, and this verse says, James, you're not applying this verse the way it should be said. What does that? What do I call that in my heart? It's a what? Conviction. Okay, the Holy Spirit uses conviction, and or maybe the Holy Spirit is the one that is doing the convicting. But that is a part of the Holy Spirit. So when we are convicted about something, we need to pay attention to that. There's one other thing that was kind of covered in the applying scripture part, but that I had, and that's our memory. I know that just simply because I have been very familiar with the Bible from little up, I haven't memorized necessarily the whole scripture, no. But there's many, many times that because of a situation, a verse will pop into my memory. And it's because I have read it somewhere. I've been familiar with it. Did I memorize that one particularly? Probably not. But because it's something that I have used a lot, then it's there. Now, obviously, the scriptures that I have memorized, then they are there more readily, more easily than the others are. Okay, let's switch gears and go up to the Bible. What is included in the Bible? Isn't it just the Bible? I couldn't come up with a whole lot on that one. Okay, it's just God's Word. And we have the complete thing. And if it's not matching up, it's not matching up. We're not getting our signal from it. So I guess we could divide it into several parts. The principles and the applications. Now the applications part of the Bible, that varies, but they will always uphold the principles. So, the Bible is full of principles. I guess we could say commands. There's commands in the Bible that are direct commands that are not just principles that need to be upheld. So, anytime that we have something that we are faced with that is a direct violation to a command, or a direct violation to a principle, you know it is not the Holy Spirit. I don't care whether the brotherhood agrees with it or not. Okay? That's just one of those things that we have to work with. Any other thoughts on the Bible part of it? Okay, let's make a list of what our brotherhood could include. If we're looking at it from a teacher's perspective, what's one of the first things that come into your mind for the teacher's brotherhood? School board. Parents. Co-teachers. How many of you have a mentor as a teacher? You do? Good. You have one or you are one?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I like that. That's actually one of the things that we have challenged our teachers to do, is get a mentor. Someone that has taught at least 10 years is what we like to see, because they have a lot more information than what somebody that's just taught a year. And some of you have taught for probably that long yourselves. Or Jen, you've taught 15 years, 16, right? 15. Okay, so even a 10-year teacher might not have taught as long as you, but guess what? There's still a lot of areas that they have covered, because teachers can't make all the mistakes, right? There's still a lot of areas that they have covered that you haven't covered. So get someone else that knows teaching, loves teaching, to be your mentor and just bounce ideas off of them. It's amazing how that can work. Is that where the brotherhood stops? just that list. Where else could we go with it?
Friends that aren't related to school at all.
Okay. I'm just going to put down friends, but...
Grandparents and your own parents.
Okay. We can make the list go on. Majorly. But if anybody that is connected with Christ, that is a part of our lives, we can go very far with that whole thing. Now, we have looking unto Jesus in our daily lives for our personal needs that we have. And that's important, but there's a lot of things in the school that we need to look unto Jesus for as well. And so when we have a situation that we face, I don't care what it is, we need to look unto Jesus. And one of the first things we need to do is bring this thing to God in prayer. And He will use any three of these things. All three of them, sometimes one of them, sometimes all three. But they will all agree, even if it comes from one direct source. They will still all agree if this is from the Holy Spirit. And He will direct us into wherever we're facing or whatever challenge we're facing. Do any of you have anything that you would like to, any certain issues on how we could apply this? Or anything else you'd want to discuss about this? Any aspect of it? Go ahead.
I don't know how many teachers struggle with this. I think a lot of long-term teachers do. But how do you find a mentor when everybody just thinks it's full? Your mentor meant to be yourself.
Okay. How do you find a mentor when you... Everybody else just thinks you're mature enough to behave yourself. Okay, then you tell them, but look, I want to go on to excellence. That can be a challenge. Because you want your mentor, if you're a lady teacher, you want your mentor to be another lady. If you're a man teacher, you want your mentor to be another man. Because there is a relationship that needs to be built there. And so... What are some of the things that we can... How can we overcome that part? Jen, do you have anything to say to that?
Well, I just need to put it on myself. Maybe I can say it clearly. But who I thought of right away. I don't know if she necessarily would call herself a mentor.
But you use her as that? Okay.
I just have no way to school board, but I can talk to any of them if I want to about my school things or different things I want to. Sorry.
You know, if somebody does not want to be a mentor, just go to the next person and go to the next person. You'll find someone that is willing somewhere. If they have a heart for teaching, they will realize, you know what? I wish I would have had somebody to go to, and they'll be willing. Most times, if they don't want to mentor you on something, they don't see the need in themselves, so they think, why should you need it? I mean, you can take that principle all over the place. Any business person out there in almost any field will have a mentor for the particular field that he's in. And you can have a mentor for one area and a different mentor for another area and a different mentor for another area. But why are we called here? We're called here to help each other and to point each other in the right direction. In a way, you could say our instructors here at WFDI are mentoring all these people in one sense of it. But the mentor would definitely be a one-on-one pointing you in the right direction. And that's why it's such a good positive thing.
Excuse me. 11:45 for question and answer instead of 10:45. 15 minutes early.
I don't know if that totally answered your question, Lydia, but just keep trying. So. Right, right. And you know. Right. So having a base of them is great. And I would suggest connecting with them on a regular basis, whether that's once every 2 weeks. Depending what you're facing, you may want to have it once every week, at least for a spell. I mean, just, but have a regular time of somehow connecting with them and someone that is willing to dig into your life. Okay, you're facing this in the classroom. What are you doing that could be contributing to this thing? Because really, if we don't take care of our personal problems, we aren't laying aside the weights. We're going to keep adding to the problems that we're having. So that someone that points us back to helping us take those weights away so we can truly look to Jesus is what we want. Right.
But if you have a lot of friends that you can talk to, that helps. It doesn't make it so heavy for the person that you're talking to. If they're a married person and they have other responsibilities, you know you can't get their priorities out of order. But you have to kind of forget about yourself too, if you're thinking about your school, your students.
Yeah, there it comes back to getting your priorities straight, wherever that one was, this one. You know, how to juggle all that. It just takes a lot of dedication to praying, asking God to show you direction and bring the people into your life that you need in your life. And this applies to anything we face. Yeah, it's not Google. This is instantaneous. Now, does God always instantly answer our questions when we have them? No. But guess what? He always brings the answer right on time. There is never a time that He is late, even though we think, God, you just have to give me an answer because it's just not going to work if you don't now. God says, haha, guess what? I know the whole situation. Now is not the right time. I'll give you the answer in the right time. And when we surrender to that, and are willing to accept that, it all works out every time. Here's where the issue is. Here's where the problem is. So, thank you for your input on the class here. God bless you this year as you face the challenges of your cloud of witnesses and as you run that race, but keep your focus on Jesus.